The real trial began the following day. Nancy Hsu, an assistant district attorney, outlined for the jury what the proof would be. Greg Saunders rebutted by saying in his opening statement that there was indeed very little proof. The first witness was Glenn Gore, who'd been brought back from prison. Gore, under direct examination from Peterson, presented the rather strange testimony that he did not see Dennis Fritz with Debbie Carter on the night of the murder. Most prosecutors prefer to start with a strong first witness who can put the killer in the same vicinity as the victim at about the same time of the murder. Peterson chose otherwise. Gore said he may have seen Dennis at the coach light at some undetermined point in the past, or perhaps he hadn't seen him there at all. The state's strategy became apparent with the first witness. Gore talked more about Ron Williamson than about Dennis Fritz, and Peterson asked more questions about Ron. The guilt-by-association scheme was put into play. Before Greg Saunders got the chance to impeach Gore on his lengthy criminal record, Peterson decided to discredit his own witness. He asked Gore about his criminal career. There were many convictions for crimes such as kidnapping, aggravated assault, and shooting a police officer. Not only did the state's prime witness fail to implicate Dennis, he was revealed to be a hardened felon serving a 40-year sentence. Off to a shaky start, Peterson continued with another witness who knew nothing. Tommy Glover described to the jury how he saw Debbie Carter talking to Glenn Gore before she went home from the coach light. After a quick appearance on the witness stand, Glover was dismissed without mentioning the name of Dennis Fritz. Gina Vieta told her story about the strange phone calls from Debbie in the early hours of December 8th. She also testified that she had seen Fritz at the coach light on several occasions, but not the night of the murder. Next, Charlie Carter told the heartbreaking story of finding his dead daughter. Then Detective Dennis Smith was called to the stand. Smith was led through the lengthy process of describing the murder scene and placing into evidence numerous photographs. He talked about the investigation he led, the collection of saliva and hair samples, and so on. Nancy Hsu's first question about possible suspects was, not surprisingly, not about Dennis Fritz. "Did you interview a man then named Ronald Keith Williamson sometime during your investigation?" she asked. "Yes, we did." Smith, without interruption or objection, then rambled on about the police investigation into Ron Williamson and explained how and why he became a suspect. Finally, Nancy Hsu remembered who was on trial and asked about a saliva sample from Dennis Fritz. Smith described how he collected the saliva and gave it to the OSBI lab in Oklahoma City. Hsu finished the direct exam at that point and yielded the witness for cross. When she sat down, the state had provided no clue as to why and how Dennis Fritz became a suspect. He had no history with the victim. No one placed him remotely near her at the time of her murder, though Smith did testify that Fritz lived close to Debbie's apartment. There was no mention of motive. Fritz was finally linked to the murder through the testimony of Gary Rogers, the next witness, who said, "Through our investigation of Ron Williamson, that's when the defendant, Dennis Fritz's name, came into play as an associate of Ron Williamson." Rogers explained to the jury how he and Dennis Smith shrewdly concluded that such a crime had required two killers. The crime seemed too violent for just one man, plus the killers had left behind a clue when they wrote, in ketchup, "Don't look for us or else." The word "us" implied more than one killer, and Smith and Rogers were quick to pick up on this. Through good police work, they were able to learn that Williamson and Fritz had actually been friends. This, in their theory, linked the two killers.